isfar u n-nuklat. Mill-independenza l-għawja għaddew 60 sena. Kemm inbidlet is-soċjetà Maltija miż-żmien twil koloniali li bla dubju ħalla effett fuq aspetti varji tan-nazzjon. Fadal xi nbidlu?
Charles Wirrep wara l-mikrofonu inselmilkom bħal dejjem u llum tislima speċjali b'xewqat kbar għall-2025 minn qed jisma' din il-verżjoni l-ewwel darba li ħareġ il-programm għaliex din fl-ewwel ġimgħa ta' xar ta' jannar tal-2025 nawgura li kulħadd sena tajba nittamaw li tkun sena ta' risq u mhux ta' fell minn sema l-aħħar programm jaf li fell huwa l-oppożit il-kuntrarju ta' risq li kelma li ma bqajniex nużawha u għalhekk sabiħa li nidħlu mill-ewwel bil-Malti. Imma l-programm tal-lum ħajkun speċjali wkoll għaliex l-istedina li għamilt jien din id-darba hija ma' persuna li nistgħu ngħidula Maltija, Tunezina, Franċiża. U għalhekk hija wkoll awtriċi ta' ktieb li verament huwa sabiħ li huwa pubblikazzjoni ta' Imax Pluriell u l-Klab Kotba Maltin, nirringrazzjawhom għall-bravura u propju jismu Malta Tunis Marseille or Malt Tunis Tunisi Marseille. Allura din dejjem niġbru it-tlet pajjiżi li huma qrib xulxin wara kollox, għax Marsilja hija fil-Mediterran bħalma hija Tunisija u Tunes u anki Malta ovvja. U għalhekk se nitkellmu magħha, ieħor taf titkellem ovvjament bil-Franċiż, taf titkellem bl-Arbi naħseb li ma taf l-Arbi inti twelit Franza probabbli. Il-mamma tagħha hija Franċiża wkoll u inti taf xaklim bil-Malti, skonġeja li għalli xi ħaġa bil-Malti taf. Imma se jkollna anke nużaw l-Ingliż li inti taf ukoll alla volja minn dak l-isfond, jiġifieri meta inti ġejja minn Tunes, mit-Tunezija. U eċt u twelitt u eċt Franza bħal mamlu ħafna eluf ta' Maltin li telqu mill-Afrika ta' fuq għal Franza. Inti tallimt l-Ingliż ukoll? Kif tallimtu l-Ingliż?
L-ewwel darba grazzi ħafna tal-istedina u is-sena tajba.
Lilek ukoll.
I learned English when I came to Malta. In fact, I was not so good at school with language.
How long ago is that?
It was now 9 years ago.
9 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. And you live in Malta all year round or you go to France as well? Because your mom, I understand, still lives in France.
No, my home is in Malta now. Okay. But obviously I travel a few times a year to France to visit my family or to work also.
So we might start, you mentioned your family. Shall we start straight away? Your name, maybe we didn't say it yet. Catel Delia, which in French would be Catel Delia.
Yes.
it's fil osor, biex najdu għek il-Franċiżi jgħadżluhom. Why Catel? It's a new name, sounding new in Malta, so maybe we should tell our listeners, you know, and they pick up ideas for new babies as well.
So, Catel, it's a Brittany name from Bretagne in west part of France, near Normandy. And so my dad wanted to call me Christelle, but my mom was not so keen of Christelle because,
she wanted a more secular name.
Yes. And so she looking for something else and she found Catel with a K, and my dad loved it immediately because it had a K and there are many words in Maltese languages with K and not so many in France. So it brings
true.
Some...
It stands out.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was easy to write when you were a toddler in school.
Yes. So just five letters.
Catel.
Yes.
It was easy to do. Okay, let's start with your family. You mentioned your family and I imagine, and that's what you told me when we met for the first time, that you were born in France, but your parents, even your grandparents or great-grandparents, had emigrated from Malta to Tunisia in the 19th century or early 20th century, I would imagine. Could you tell us something about this nice family trip around these three countries?
Yeah. So my grandfather, my nanu, was born in Zeytoun in 1914. So, and at the when he was 6 years old, his parents decided to immigrate to Tunisia.
And there was a lot of unemployment.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it was quite common at that time. And
thousands went. Thousands. Yeah. So to Tunisia, Algeria, mostly, but some to Libya and Egypt. But yes, mostly Algeria comes first, and then Tunisia.
Tunisia was really closed. And so they say, let's have a chance there. So they went with their four boys.
One of them, your father?
My grandfather, my nanu.
Your grandfather.
My nanu. then they stayed there for 7 years around, but they didn't managed to do it.
Didn't do well as much as they expected.
And my great grandfather, my bus nanu, in fact, was sick, so they asked for repatriation to Malta.
To come back.
But I tell you this story, but I discovered these stories, these details, thanks to the National Archive here in Malta, because the family story was just say that my bus nana left Malta with her six children.
You filled in the details with your research.
Yes, and I didn't know the details, so I went to the National Archive, and what was
surprise
and unbelievable, it was that I found also photographies of my...
Exactly, because this book is full of photographs from your family's past.
Yes.
You were very lucky.
Yes, I was.
To find all this.
Yeah, because I didn't have photo of my nanu when he was a child, and I saw him, and I recognized him immediately.
You found him in the emigrants' movements from Malta in 1914. Eh?
Yes.
You must be really lucky there.
Yeah. Yes. And you find in the document, you find also details about
passport details,
but also like there is, they explain why they came back and how they survived there in Tunisia. After a year in Malta, my bus nana decided to go back to Tunisia because they left two elders, sons, in Tunisia. So she didn't want to let them alone.
Exactly. So she decided to join them.
Yeah. And in fact, she get birth in Malta. She was pregnant on the way back to Malta. She get birth to Malta. And then she went, like, she wanted to
she
have...
Was like, fertile across the sea.
So, and then she came back. And my bus nanu never went back to Tunisia. So she raised her kids alone in Tunisia.
Okay, and that was not easy. Because
it was the
20th century, after the war, most probably now we're talking.
And yes. It was 1920.
There you are, yes.
26, yes.
It was, life was not easy in Malta, but not also not in Tunisia so much.
Yeah.
And Tunisia was under the French, right? Malta under the British.
Ah.
So they were changing not only countries, but also empires.
Yes, it's true.
And how come they all ended up in France at the end?
As
many others did from Algeria.
Yeah.
But
in my family, there was something a bit different because they didn't go straight to France. My grandfather met my grandmother. They have my father there, and they managed to have a shop. So it was a big success for them because coming from really the bottom of the ladder, they grew, and so they were really proud of that. And at the independence of Tunisia, they and the nationalization of the country. So people asked to either to be Muslim and Tunisian or to leave.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
This was in the 1960s then?
Yes,
'62 maybe.
Yeah, they left in '61, but yes, it was this.
Because there was the Battle of Algiers also for independence, which ended.
But
in '62, not in Tunisia.
In Tunisia, there was other battles, like the most famous in a way. It's Bizerte, La Crise de Bizerte, and they were they got the independence, and slowly they were more. Pressure on the foreigner to leave. Exactly. And slowly
Who were not Muslims or the natives.
Yes, it was gradually, it was not, but yeah, at some point.
Not like Algeria, which had to send out 30,000 in one go after independence.
Yeah. No, it was a bit gradually.
In Tunisia, it was calmer.
Yeah. But yes, they were, at some point, they didn't have choice to leave.
And then your parents must have been young then.
My dad was 16, and he was the eldest of the family.
Okay.
So, but my grandfather was really proud of his Maltese roots, and he didn't trust the French. And he never say, "Oh, you," because as my father and his sibling were born in Tunisia, they can pretend to have to be. French citizen, but my grandfather said no, you are Maltese. So he was really proud, and he didn't want to go to France. So he said no, we go back to Malta.
Okay.
So
Malta was still in their blood, so to speak. They didn't give it up.
No, it was.
They were proud of
But it was quite challenging, and I continued to do research. I had few documents at home because. My dad preserved a lot of documents. But I went to the notarial archive here in Malta, and I found also documents. And it was for them, it was quite challenging to come back because
In the 60s, there was a lot of unemployment.
Yes, still. And they say if every Maltese who went abroad, they decide to come.
It will be a disaster.
It will be complicated. Yeah. So they make it more complicated.
Yes.
And you in the book, you see few documents, but I didn't obviously put everything, but it was a pile.
Exactly. But we must say that this book, your book, which is beautifully laid out with so many pictures, and the book, I remind those listeners who didn't catch it, Malta, Tunis, Marseille, Catel Delia is with us in the studio. She filled up the book with so many pictures, family pictures, pictures of the time, collage. It's a beautiful book. It's something which people should acquire because it's something to really learn a lot about all the movements which you are telling us. So now we are in France, most probably.
I know. So they arrive in Malta, but after a year, and they say, maybe we haven't done.
Easy.
Yes, we haven't done the right choice.
Because the Maltese were emigrating to Australia.
Yeah, they were in France. Some friend of them or family members. Yes. They were also in France. So
they knew people there. Yeah.
So after a year, they decided to go to France. So
and settle in Marseille.
In Marseille,
like many.
Yes, because
it's the first.
It was easier,
city by the sea. So,
And I found some when I did my research. Also, I found that in the past they went by plane, but there was also boats of Malta, Marseille in
traveling
the past
and sailing to Marseille with a lot of commerce as well.
Yeah.
Isfaru innuklat, illum fil-program tagħna qed nitkellmu bl-Ingliż imma Franċiża, Maltija, il-familja minn Tunes, jiġifieri għandna borma sabiħa interessanti, din hija Catel Delia. Catel Delia hija full-time artist, jiġifieri tgħix minn fuq l-arti. U se nitkellmu iżjed fuq hekk f'din it-tieni parti. Komplu isimgħu Isfar innuklat. Inkoplu din it-tieni taqsima kif għattilkom ma nerġgħu naqilbu għall-Ingliż għalkemm bil-Malti Catel Delia li hija familja tagħha telqet minn Malta marret Tunis u mbagħad minn hemmhekk marru Franza wara li dejjem ġew Malta qabel jew wara għaliex iħobbu l-Malta ħafna il-familja tagħha. Catel, one of the things that you mentioned was your grandmother spent quite a few years in Tunis or Tunisia. And she remained a Christian as well, not only Maltese, because there are churches in these countries, there were churches in North Africa, and they were allowed to carry on with their worship, etc., right?
Yes. In fact, they used to live in near La Goulette, and there is a church, and it still exists, and they still have mass on Sunday or Saturday. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, there is a community.
Okay, so that was nice. We left in the first part. We left your father in France now, after a lot of moving around, even in Malta. And obviously, one day, since you came around, he must have met your mother, who is French.
Yes, he met my mother on the trip, and we stay in Paris for a few years, and then we moved to Brittany, and I grew up in Brittany.
Brittany again is northwest of France, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I grew up there, and I studied there at the Fine Arts School. And then I decided to move to Paris because I dreamt about Paris, the culture.
Favorite city in the world.
And I used to love to go to museum. So, yeah. And I complete my study in Paris. But I became a graphic designer, art director, and UX designer.
So your profession is graphic designer.
Yeah.
And yet you moved into becoming a full-time artist. Now photography is full of photographs here in the book, so ones, modern ones, which you shot. But you also are involved in installations, in sculpture, and in 3D digital sort of exercises and arts, or expressions rather. Could you tell us something about what you are doing as a for your living, so to speak, but obviously also you love doing it.
Yeah. So after my career, I really wanted to be an artist. It was still in my heart, and in fact, I was freelancer at that time, and I decided to move to Malta, and it was a way to be far from my customer and develop more my art project. So, thanks to Malta, in fact, I became...
So you're based here, as you told us in the beginning.
Yes, I'm based
recording.
Here.
And once you are based here, you still visit Paris, which is your city where you developed your ideas. And obviously your mom, who I guess is still in Brittany.
Yes, so yeah, definitely. And I mean, in Malta, it's the way I can work on my project. I can develop my ideas. I do also some workshop for different audiences, and in France also. I exhibit few times at Spazio Creative, thanks to many curators, Raphael Vella, Melanie Erickson.
Our best, we all know these.
Yes, Margherita Poulet.
You have a lot of contacts and places where to exhibit as well. No?
Yeah, and in Malta, I found it easier at the beginning because the community is artistic community is a bit smaller, and it's easier to
move around.
Yes, to know people and to discuss and I enjoy it a lot because you meet great artists and it's in Malta. What I like the most is it's like a platform where there are foreigners coming.
It's like a Carrefour sort of.
Yes, it's amazing.
Where everything crosses each other. We have so many cultures.
And it's easy to be in contact with them. True. Because in Paris you go for conferences there are hundreds and hundreds people. And maybe you can ask a question, but here in Malta you
are a protagonist. We're big fish in a small pond. So it helps. Yeah. That helps your contacts. Once we spoke about your family ties and the history of the family, which is in this book, and at the same time, they have a lot of memories. They must have told you a lot about Malta. Mm. But now you are living here, you said, about 9 years.
Yeah.
So you must have formed your idea of your Maltese origins. I mean, you still have your surname, Delia.
Yeah. And
what do you make out of all those memories which were passed from generations in your family and what you see now? Well, do you make comparisons or inform other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I have also my own memories because after they immigrate to Marseille, my family, my nanu and nana came back to Malta. So I used to visit them in Malta.
So you kept contact.
Yes, and it's maybe also why I'm so attached to Malta.
That, you discovered it bit by bit, so to speak. Yeah.
And I saw how Malta changed since I was born in 1975. So yes, it's quite a long time and I saw the difference. What can I say? It's that the
general impression, most probably, is that Malta is a historical place.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fact of history is that your parents made all this nice round move in the Mediterranean, and you're a product of three almost nations. Do you see it that way? I mean, we have a Semitic language, for example. The villages and towns are in Arabic. But part of your family spent some time in Tunisia. And then you have a French mother and you had a French education and formation. And you started your career in Paris. And now you're living in Malta. I mean, you must feel that you are the result of a nice mix of Mediterranean inputs.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. And I like the fact that there is some element like the food or the languages that
they intermingle with the other.
With food there are a lot of anecdotes because there are some dishes you think it's Maltese but no I discover when I came to Malta, I start to prepare then, and my friends say, but no, it's not Maltese. Ah, okay, so my nana was doing something more Tunisian, but you have those...
Like imaret, for example, which filled with dates. That's definitely Arabic. But then we have cannoli, which comes from Sicily, and other French products like pastis and things like that. So we have,
And there are some products for it. It's a bit funny, but my nana used to love to cook couscous. But here in Malta, she didn't find the couscous, proper couscous.
It's coming in now again.
Yes, but at that time in the 80s,
it wasn't available anymore.
So we used to bring it in our luggage.
To
cook it here. Exactly. Even merguez, camembert, all these things.
Now we find them all.
Yes.
Because we have people from all languages, from all countries in the Mediterranean and beyond. But the pasta in Sicily made a big effect on the Maltese cuisine.
Yeah.
And definitely it's more popular than anything else. Yeah. Pasta here is quite popular in many forms. Mm. I would like to spend the last maybe 4 or 5 minutes. You have experienced, as you said, your upbringing in France. And now you are here. And you just spent Christmas this year. Also in Malta at the start of this year. Can you remember what you used to do as a child or maybe particularly in your family around Christmas and around the New Year with things which they took from Tunisia, from Malta, and then they were in France? So I don't know if there was a mix in these traditions as well, being the first program that's coming out in this series for 2025.
Yeah. The tradition in France was to celebrate Christmas a bit like here in Malta, Christmas tree, etc.
Turkey as well.
But we spoke about ducks. Food and what food was missing here in Malta. And I remember when I was 5 years old, etc. My dad used to buy a really beautiful box of chocolate where there is a place for each chocolate. And he bought the biggest one kilo, you know, because you were allowed to send this. So it sent this, but when you packed, then it's a bit more than 1 kilo. So we were allowed to eat one chocolate to make
like
it.
Rations.
Yes. Like rations. Yeah. Like to make it.
And you used to bring these things also in Malta.
Yeah, but we send it by post.
Oh, I see.
And then my...
To your relatives.
Yes, to my grandparents. And then they open the box and they say... They opened my box. They ate three chocolates.
Most sure they picked up some at the post.
Yes.
Or at the customs.
Yes, he told that. But my dad was so ashamed of what he has done. So he didn't say a word. And it was like, he repeated twice. But then I say, no, he say, no, it's not fair for the post office.
Exactly.
So he found a box where they were not well placed.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was at
okay,
that
so
time.
That's something you remember from your childhood.
Yeah.
And in Paris, I mean, I've visited France in many different cities in the south and the north and in Paris during Christmas time and end of year. And they do a lot of things which we do as Christians mostly, with the Holy Mass for Christmas and parties and shows for Christmas. But there's also the habit, for example, I found it in Avignon. At the end of the year, they throw old furniture in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably you didn't experience that in the north.
No, we don't have this kind of...
This is done mostly in Naples. In Naples, you have to watch out at the end of the year. If you walk the streets, you know, people throw old furniture as sort of to do away with the end of with the last year. And I found that in Avignon. I had a group. I was leading a group, and we risked, you know, pieces
dangerous.
Of furniture coming down just past midnight. But it was beautiful to see the different ideas. Did your parents, even for Christmas, for example, did they carry on with cuisine products, what they used to cook for you during the Christmas period? Was there anything? I think you had the galette des rois, for example.
Yes, la galette des rois. It's now the weekend after New Year's Eve.
Exactly, Epiphany.
And
exactly.
This, yes.
And it is still popular in France.
Oh, yes,
once
really
I
popular.
Once I found the little clown inside my mouth. That would be a lucky year, I guess. But you didn't have any, for example, Christmas pudding there in France.
No,
it's a British thing which we took over.
No, we have a bush. We call it a bush. It looks like a
log.
Yes, a piece of wood, like the log, like this. We have the tradition will be of not a chicken.
Like a turkey.
Turkey, like this, and chutney, and like this.
And Brittany, what do you know of Brittany? I mean, you had your childhood there. Uh-huh. Is it very different from the rest of France? Is it very different from Malta? Very different from...
Uh-huh. No, it's not. I mean, the food, yes, there are some traditional food, like les galettes, the crepes, crepe. Now you found crepe in Malta.
Tourism travels.
But it's quite similar than the rest of the France. I remember once someone asked me, "Do you see some similarity?" But in the music, I found some common between Brittany and Malta, especially the rag band, the new rag band here in
Banda Tandri, we call it here in Malta, which are a small group playing tunes for Christmas, maybe as well. Okay. I think we have to leave it there because time is up. And I will thank again our guest, Katel Delija, li kif tafu kellimniha bl-Ingliż għaliex hija Franċiża, imma Franċiża d-discendenza Maltija minn Tunis ukoll barra Malta. U allura nfakkarkom li l-ktieb tagħha Malta Tunis Marsej, Katel Delija, huwa pubblikazzjoni ta' Imax Pluriel u tal-Klab Kodba Maltin. U nittamaw li din is-sena għal Katel tkun sena sabiħa anki Malta u ta' suċċess fl-arti li inti tħaddi. Jiena minna ħatijaj nirringrazzja l-Marka ġusa l-assistenza teknika u nagħmel appuntament ċal xwieqeb għal-pallun ġimgħa fl-istess ħin. Is-sena tajba.
Is-sena tajba.